You've seen the signs, I'm sure, whenever you travel through hill country. Danger, falling rock. Well, the Bible has something to say about falling rock as well. Let's find out in the next edition of Road Signs with Hank Niwola.
Thank you, Mary. Here in western Pennsylvania, that danger from falling rock is very real. There's quite a bit of shale and coal strata, and where the roadways cut through the hillsides, it's quite likely that a piece of rock or an entire family of rocks are about to make a descent upon the roadway. I've seen rocks the size of automobiles and even small houses lying on or beside the roadway. I tell you, friend, if you were to hit a stone that size, it's not the stone that would be damaged. Or if that stone had fallen on you, why, you'd be crushed to pieces. Just thinking about that reminds me of Jesus, because both Peter and Paul referred to Jesus as a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In fact, Jesus himself said in the 21st chapter of Matthew, "Have you never read in the scripture, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.'" And he went on to say, "He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." The stone he's referring to was a capstone, the head of the corner, usually placed at the top of a roof parapet, or the top of a staircase, or even on the city walls. If a capstone was set too low in the city walls, it could be tripped over by an unwary person, and he'd be sent over the edge. On the other hand, if it was too light or insecurely fastened, someone leaning against or bumping against the stone could dislodge it and send it crashing onto the head of some passerby below. The Jews stumbled over Jesus. They were offended at his birth, for it appeared to them that he was born out of wedlock. He was born of very poor parents. He received a minimal education and was brought up in the country. He and his followers certainly didn't look like the king in his court. And just look at the company that he kept. Even today, there are many who stumble over who Jesus is, the Son of God, Savior of all men, who stumble over the need to confess their sins and call out to Jesus to save them. Yet if we don't do that, and we pretend that everything is fine in our lives, why, we only make ourselves more miserable. We are broken to pieces. But there's something even worse, because the end of verse 44 says, "On whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust, or it will grind him to powder." Most people believe Jesus here was alluding to the custom of stoning as a punishment among the Jews. In that day, a scaffold was erected twice the height of the person to be stoned. Standing on its edge, he was violently struck by one of the witnesses to his evil deed. If he died by the blow and the fall, nothing further was done to him. If somehow he was still alive, a heavy stone, usually requiring two people to lift, was thrown down upon him, which at once killed him. And if the witness's aim was so bad that somehow the man survived the blow, the fall, and the stone, then all the witnesses picked up stones and hurled them upon the man until he was surely dead. So that's a good warning for all of us, friends. As we would oppose or reject Jesus, a time comes, namely the day of judgment, when we'll be crushed by him and perish forever. So I urge you today, don't make Jesus your stumbling stone or rock of offense. His arms are open wide. He's ready to forgive every sin. He understands the weaknesses of our human bodies. And by admitting our need for him, he promises to guide us in life in a better way than we could ever hope to do, and in the age to come, grant us eternal life.
Thanks, Hank. That was great. Until next time, keep your eyes on the road and pay attention to those God-placed road signs in your life.
Well, amen to that, Brother Hank. I, for one, would rather fall upon the rock of Jesus than have the stone roll over me. And speaking of stones, it's time to return to part two of Jerusalem Dragnet. As a matter of fact, they were on their way to a stoning when we left them. Let's pick things up right where we left off.
Gee, Goody, I didn't know these things were so popular.
Yeah, well, at least we got a handicapped parking space.
Yeah, let's see. Where do we get some tickets around here?
I don't know. You'd think as police officials we get a free box,
programs,
huh?
Programs, souvenirs, get your programs, get your rocks, stony Christian, please aid everything.
Hey, excuse me. Is this where we get our tickets?
Sure is, officer. What'll it be? You can sit on either side with the Pharisees or the Christians.
Well, what do you suggest?
Well, there's plenty of room on the Christian side, but the hot tip today is if you ain't wearing your flak vest, you'll be squeezing with the Pharisees.
Well, okay, give me a couple of seats behind the Pharisee dugout, huh?
Ha! You kidding? You show up on game day and expect to sit with the scribes? You're lucky we got some bleacher seats left.
Can we talk to the Pharisees from out there?
Yeah, you can chat with the guys in the bullpen. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll meet Lenny Koufax.
Not a chance. Not today. He's starting. He's got a great fastball. Hasn't had a no-hitter all year. When he throws a strike, they're out. Of course, he ain't as good as old Solly Tarsus, but he's the best they got since old Solly went free agent.
When did that happen?
That was a couple years ago. Solly was on his way out to Damascus for spring training when he claims he met this Jesus in Nazareth guy.
In Damascus?
No, just that side.
Your friend Saul know where to find Jesus?
He didn't say where, but he did say know how. That same thing?
That's good enough. Work and get a hold of this Saul.
Well, I ain't seen him lately, but you might try his dad's house.
Thanks. Let's go, Frank.
Just a minute, officers. That'll be 3 shekels, please.
Oh, we decided not to go to the game.
Not for the game, for the information.
It's kind of steep, isn't it?
All right, I'll throw in a pennant.
Well, okay, yeah.
Gee, Goody, mind if I pick the pennant?
Sure, Frank. Live it up.
Let's see, you got any Christian ones?
You kidding? No way. The Pharisees own all the concessions. In fact, that's what's wrong with them Christians. They never make any concessions.
Being an accomplished law enforcement officer, I always follow up a solid lead. At 7:45 that evening, Frank and I began our search for Saul of Tarsus, alias Paul the Apostle, at the house of his father.
Gee, Goody, I just don't understand why they're stoning all those Christians. You know, I didn't see anything wrong with them. It seemed nice enough to me. And of course, I didn't see anything wrong with Jesus either, and look what they did to him.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope this is the place. All these tents look alike.
Yeah, well, that's a problem with track homes.
Yeah, what do you want?
Good evening, sir. You Mr. of Tarsus?
Yeah, Saul. What's it to you?
You got a son named Saul?
Yeah, but whatever he's done, I'm not responsible.
It's all right, sir. We're just here to ask some questions.
When was the last time you saw your son?
Quite a while back. It was right before I left for Damascus. Hasn't been the same since. I don't know what he did.
You say you've noticed some erratic behavior?
Hey, let me tell you something. My Sully, he was a good kid. He had a lucrative tent business. He was a Pharisee, too. Mm-hmm. Just like his papa. You should see him. He'd get out in the middle of town and repeat prayers better than anyone. He had a better delivery than Rabbi Youngman's kid, Danny.
Yeah, just a fact, sir.
Yeah, well, so, he takes off for Damascus and lightning strikes. He claims this Jesus guy talks to him and his whole life is changed. And all of a sudden, this bon voyage, he starts traveling around from town to town and preaching and forming churches and Andani getting himself killed.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard from him?
You kidding? Not a word. He writes the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Corinthians, but did you ever hear of his epistle to Dad? Ungrateful kid.
Well, do you know where he is now?
Yeah, he's in Rome.
What's he doing there?
I think he works for a savings and loan company.
What makes you say that?
Said he was in bonds.
July 29th, 3:14 p.m. Frank and I started our voyage for Rome in search of Paul the Apostle and perhaps the root of the Jesus conspiracy.
Oh, Frank. What a rough trip, yeah. Huh? Oh, the way that boat kept rocking back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
I remember.
Well, this must be the place.
Yeah.
Certainly doesn't look like a savings and loan, huh?
Yeah, it looks like a jail to me.
Well, maybe they locked Paul up with the money, huh? Oh, this must be him here. Excuse me.
I'm Sergeant Friday. This is my partner, Frank Gannon. Hi. We're officers from Jerusalem PD.
Hello, I'm Paul, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Listen, we're here to ask some questions about this Jesus movement. We understand you're the leader.
Oh, no, Jesus is the leader. I'm just a believer. But I'll gladly share anything you'd like to hear about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. What are you writing?
It's a letter to the Philippians.
Which one?
All of them.
What do you mean? That's like sending a letter to California.
Well, you see, I send it to the Christians there, and they all read it and pass it around among them. You know, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Can we change the subject?
Sure.
Say, listen, can we have a look at what you're writing there?
Go ahead.
Let's see here. Having mine own... not having mine own righteous, but which is of the law, but... this stuff's kind of strange, isn't it? Where's the stuff like having a great time, wish you were here? I don't understand any of this.
Well, you see, the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit.
Yeah, well, it's all Greek to me. Listen, Paul, now we have it that you were a Pharisee before all this. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a position of wealth, of prominence, and with a future. Why did you give all that up to follow Jesus?
Well, you see, I was a very prideful man. Oh, sure, I was real religious. I practically lived in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. Always trying to fit God into my plans rather than really totally willing to surrender myself to His ways.
Yes, sir.
Well, finally, I was just so hard-hearted that God had to get me flat on my back in order to speak to me. And while I was lying there, I heard a voice come from out of heaven. And you know who it was?
Cecil B. DeMille?
No, it was Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And it was then that I realized that God wanted to have a personal relationship with me. He doesn't care if I'm religious. He looks at our hearts.
Yeah, Peter told us something about having Jesus in his heart.
Yeah, that's right.
Your heart, huh? Say, are you aware we might be able to get you on charges of harboring a criminal?
What are you going to do, throw me in jail?
Oh, we'll see. In the meantime, don't leave here. We may want to question you again.
Why should I want to leave? My prison ministry's thriving.
Yeah. Come on, Frank, let's go.
Say, Paul, is following Jesus worth going to jail for?
Let me tell you something, Frank. I'm freer now than most people will ever be. I've been totally pardoned.
Huh. Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Unlike most law enforcement cases, the story of Jesus Christ goes on. We see his effect on people's lives everywhere. And now, the results of Sergeant Friday and Officer Gannon's investigation. Sergeant Good Friday. Sergeant Friday totally rejected any belief in the facts of Jesus Christ. He continued in a lifetime sentence of bondage to sin. Currently, as a result of drunkenness and multiple divorces, he has been demoted to a security cop at Kmart. Officer Frank Gannon. On November 4th, Officer Gannon gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now, free from sin, he has life and that more abundantly.